are carrying on with our series on prayer, and today we're looking at helpful patterns of prayer, which is, in one sense, a big ask, because there are many different ways to pray. We really could spend one Sunday for each type of prayer, if we wanted to, but that would take probably to the end of the year, because there are so many different ways to pray. We're going to do some praying during this time of the sermon. It's not just going to be me talking. It's going to be a time of prayer, because I do believe that the way we learn about prayer is by doing, not by reading or hearing about it. It's just like driving a car. It's very hard to learn how to drive a car if you just read the book or someone tells you about it. You actually have to get in there and drive to really get what it means to drive. And the same with cooking. I do say to Jim as often as I can, you know, he who can read can cook. However, to learn to cook, you do need to do it. You know, you can't just think, well, I know how to cook because I've read some recipes. Although, so I think the best way to learn is to do. The second thing that I think is so important to remind ourselves is what I've called the G factor, you know, the G force. They talk about G forces, you know, when you suddenly zoom around a corner if you're driving fast, so you've got to learn a driver in the family, and you go around a corner too fast, you kind of, your head goes towards the window. There's this force that when you're going to make a change, there's something in you, the inertia just wants to keep going in the way it's always gone, you know? It's a G-force, but what I think G stands for us, when we talk about prayer, is guilt. Yeah? Whenever you talk about prayer, one of the first default positions we come to is, oh, we feel guilty. I never pray as I should, or as I think I should, or as I ought, or as I could. So I think one of the most important things is to recognize guilt as being incredibly potent and incredibly unhelpful. Doesn't get us anywhere. And if we really believe that God has forgiven us already for what we have done and for what we will do, then we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We can come. Give the guilt a flick. It just stops us moving forward. Give that the flick and just come to God. There's a picture of a cat up in the corner there, and I just want to use that as an illustration. We have two cats at home. Love them both, just the same. But the one follows me round all the time. If I'm working from home, the cat, she sort of sets her eyes on me and watches me almost to say, come on, settle down, finish in the kitchen, where are you going to be? And then finally when I settle down and where I'm going to be, I turn around and there she is, curled up right near me, purring away. And then if I get up, go down and make a cup of coffee or tea, she comes up and she sits in the kitchen watching me saying, come on, where are you going to go now? And then when I go and settle down, she goes. And so I talk to her a lot. I work things out with her. I stroke her. I think with her. I pray with her, actually. Well, don't pray. But the other cat I love just the same, but he's not really fussed. You know, he lives in the house, he has the security of being in the house, enjoys being there, knows he's loved, but he's not really fussed. So I love them both the same, but I don't get the same opportunity to actually stroke him, show him how much I love him, talk to him. And I somehow feel that this is a bit like prayer. You know, for a lot of us, we're in the kingdom, we're in the house, we have the security, we know we're loved, but you know, we're not really fussed. We'll come to God from time to time, you know, when we're hungry, when we need something. But we're not really fussed. But I think God wants us to be able to put ourselves, keep putting ourselves intentionally, and I think that's the key word, intentionally in the presence of God, a bit like this Silky, the cat that just puts her eyes on me and watches, where are you going now? And I think that we're called to put our eyes on God and say, what are you doing now? Where are you going now? I want to be with you. What's your program for today? Where are you going? And then settle down with God. And then we put ourselves in a place where God can reach us, even if we don't feel like praying. Are you with me? So there's a way in which God can reach out, talk to us, discuss things with us, show us his love, when we intentionally put ourselves in the presence of God. Yes, we're in the presence of God all the time. We're in the presence of God now. But there's a kind of a way in which we need to then say, I am now intentionally going to be present to the God who is always present to me. There's a difference, isn't there? And we talked about the hand last time in the previous sermon I did. We talked about being aware of your hand. It's the same sort of thing. Then the last thing on the introduction I want to mention is the importance of persistence. We had that in both of our readings today, perseverance and persistence. It's interesting that in Luke chapter 18, Jesus gives another parable, and he prefaces it by saying, this parable was given so that people would not give up in prayer. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? That tells us that actually there will be reasons to not be persistent in prayer. There will be reasons for us to feel like we just can't persevere. So don't be surprised by them, because God expects that. And what he's saying is, when the going gets tough, when you want to give up, don't. So just keep going. And I think something about it has to do with God sometimes asking us, how badly do you want this? How badly do you want me? Or are you not really fussed? How badly do you want me? And I don't know how many of you watch MasterChef. Any people watch MasterChef here? People probably too embarrassed to put their hands up. But, you know, it's that question that they always ask, you know, with the elimination round. How badly do you want to be here, you know? And it all comes up, doesn't it? Oh, I've put my life on hold for this. This is what I... It's interesting. I sometimes think God asks us, how badly do you want this? In other words, how much are you going to work for this? And it's in articulating it that we actually then step into it and say, again, yes, this is what's important for me. And the same with prayer. How important is your relationship with God? We know up here, we can give a flick flick, yes, it's important to me, yes, it's the most important thing. But it's almost as if God says sometimes, how badly do you want me? And if we articulate that and say, yeah, really badly, yeah, I can't live without you, we step into that place and we say, okay, change. Change is needed. So my prayer for us as we pray together this morning is that each one of us, wherever we are, and we'll all be in different places in our relation with God and the way we relate to God, will be taken by God, the Holy Spirit, the teacher who resides within us, who take us just that step further in our own prayer lives, in our own presencing ourselves with God, that we might be changed. And just being in the presence of God changes us. I'm going to assume that everyone has a way to pray and a place to pray and a time to pray each day, an appointment with God that you won't give up. You know, I missed an appointment the other day, not because it was an appointment with a medical practitioner, and because I got the wrong day, the wrong month. But you know what I still had to pay? I didn't rock up, and I had to pay. How seriously do we want this appointment with God? Let's look at a couple of things. I've taken the ask, seek and knock idea to help us move forward. The one is the examine. So under ask, I've got the examine. In other words, what do we ask of God? What are we longing for from God? How do we want to live our lives before God? What are you asking in the way you live your life before God? Now, the examen is a form of prayer, a way of praying that's been around since the 1500s. And so through those hundreds of years, Christians have found the deep and rich benefit of this form of prayer. And for each of the forms of prayer we're going to do today, I have written on the handout some of the benefits, some of the reasons why it's helpful to pray this way. With the examine sounds a bit like it's an examination, and it's not to be that. In fact, that's precisely not to be that, because that's the way we go down the road of the G-force, you know, the guilt. And we don't want that, and I don't think God wants it either. It's not constructive. This is about weighing up. It comes from the Latin, more meaning to weigh up, to test in terms of its texture. You know what I mean? If you are a person who works a lot with fabric, you get to know the nuances of the different types of fabric and the texture, and you can just feel it straight away. Whereas someone like myself who doesn't know the first thing, I can feel the difference between Hessian and silk, but that's about it, you know. I don't know the nuances. But this is about the nuances of God's movement in your life. So, at the end of each day, and it only takes 10 minutes maximum. I mean, you can take longer if you like. Take as long as you like. But it really only requires about 10 minutes. At the end of the day, consciously presence yourself before God. Become present to the God who was always present to you. And then ask yourself, before God, as a way of praying, what gave me life today? What was life-giving today? And run your mind, as it were, through, like a video, through your day. What gave me life today? What was life-giving? And give that up in gratitude to God, because we know that anything that is life-giving is, it's that connective tissue we talked about last time, where God is working in you and through you. So where was that happening during the day? Where was that life? It could be something very small, like someone's smile, a conversation you overheard, something you did, a project you finished. Could be anything. And you just give that up to God. But in doing that, you sense the textures of where God was with you in those moments. You become more present to God. And then you ask yourself the question, before God, as a form of prayer, what was draining for me? What really was sucked the life out of me today? It's often in the areas where we're not gifted. For example, if I've got to do admin, I can tell you I'll procrastinate and it'll be the most draining and difficult and exhausting task I've done. Give me a silent retreat to lead and I'll be flying high. So we all have giftings. And this tells us more about that God uses who we are. God made us and uses us. And yes, we still have to do the stuff we're not good at. But what was draining? The other side of that can be a comment that you made that you felt you shouldn't have made, whatever. And whatever was draining for you that day, listen to that before God and then give it up to God. Like having a helium balloon, just let it go. Let it go. And then just ask God to come with you into the night as you sleep and into the next day. Very simple. But one of the benefits from this is that we grow in discernment, in discerning the nuances of how God works with us, how we live our lives, where God is in that moment-by-moment living. So that when we come to make big decisions, we actually have grown in discernment. We're not looking for the writing on the wall out there. You know, so often we say, I wish God would just write on the wall what I need to do. But the Holy Spirit lives within us, and he wants a much more mature relationship than that. If you really love someone and you're very, very close to them, you don't need them to write something on the wall for you to guess what they might be thinking. You just kind of know, because you spend so much time with them. You know the nuances of how they work. That's the way it is in this relationship with God. So that's just an explanation of that one. But we're going to do something now. With the concept of ask, seek and knock, we've just done the ask. In the knocking, it's a physical thing, isn't it? And it's almost as if when God is saying ask, seek, knock, it's like, come to me any way you can. Ask, seek, knock, do whatever you need to do. There are many different ways to come to me, but whatever it is, come, ask. So in the knocking, it's like using our bodies. It's a physical thing. And some people, I think, you know, when people play instruments, they're praying. It's a way of praying with their bodies. Or singing, it's praying with their bodies, in a way. Some people kneel. Some people lie prostrate. Some people walk when they pray. All these ways use our bodies as ways of prayer. But I want to lead us in a body prayer. And this is just one of many. You can make up your own. But I just suggest that while you sit there, just close your eyes so that no one's looking at anybody else. And I'm just going to lead you in a body prayer. And the service is a time of prayer together. Just cup your hands just in front of your heart. And just imagine in your hands that you're holding the whole world. All the oceans and the deserts and the rainforests. And all the people around the world, those who are suffering and in poverty, earthquakes, war, and also those who have too much. And take a moment to attend to one part of God's creation for which you have particular concerns. Just take a moment. Then, just silently pray for that concern. And then lift your hands up to about in front of your face, and as you do that, lift up, as it were, the whole of the world and all its concerns and your concerns for it. Lift up into the arms of God. And then leave the world in the arms of God for God to care for and watch over and to love in ways only God can. Then slowly bring your hands back down and cup them back under your heart. And imagine you're holding all the people in your life, your family, your friends, people you work with or study with, people in church, those with whom you're having difficulties, those whom you often forget. And take a moment now to attend to just a few people for whom you have special concerns. Then just pray silently for them. And as a form of prayer, lift up your hands, as it were, symbolically lifting those people up, lift it up to about in front of your face, and lift them into the arms of God and leave them there for God to love and care for and watch over in ways that only God can. Then slowly bring your hands back down, still cupped, and imagine this time yourself in your hands. And just remember perhaps your earliest memories of yourself, some of the turning points, through to your present, and also hold in your hands your own future. And then take a moment to attend to any particular concerns you have about yourself. And then pray silently for those. And then, as a form of prayer, symbolically just lift yourself up in trust and faith, lifting your hands up to about in front of your face. And then lift yourself into the arms of God and leave yourself there to be cared for and watched over and loved in ways that only God can. And then slowly bring your hands back down. Amen. That's just a form of using our bodies in prayer. Sometimes we run out of words. When people are in pain or suffering deeply or profoundly, I don't know about you, but I run out of words. But I can pray like that. Another way to pray is, hopefully a lot of you, most of you, all of you picked up a stone or from the front. And I think that sometimes we need to bear one another's burdens. And we often just breeze through this verse. But what does it mean to bear one another's burdens? It means to help carry burdens. And yes, we can help doing that by financially helping other people, giving people lifts, being there for them, making meals, doing whatever we can physically, if you like, in that way. But there are other times when perhaps they're too far away, or we just can't be there with them, or we're still wanting to actually take some of that weight, carry some of that burden. And we have a very dear friend who, just before Jim and I were due to leave for England when we were going overseas, we heard that her husband had been having an affair for the last few years and she had no idea. And they're both wonderful Christians and he had no interest in trying to work it out. So she was absolutely devastated and so were we. But what can you do? We're right over here and we're just about to leave. So I took something somewhat bigger than this, quite a heavy rock, and I put it in my, for want of a better word, those bum bags that you have when you go travelling, and I put it in that. I did not know how to pray, except that I wanted to carry some of the weight. I wanted to help lift her, help walk with her, help alleviate some of the incredible heaviness that she was experiencing. And so that was my prayer. God, as I carry this with me all the time, I want to carry some of that weight. Give me some of that weight. Lighten her load. And it was a reminder. I don't think I went very long without praying for her all that time. When we got to Iona, I then walked up to the highest hill there and prayed and left that rock there as a prayer. She didn't know any of that, but we had an email that said there was at a point very close to that time where she felt like she was just lifted up on wings. She said she was so light, so freed. Yes, it was still painful, but somehow she could live the next day and the next day and the next day. Now, I don't know if there was a link between my prayer and her experience, but something in me says, maybe so, maybe so. And so when we pray for others, so often we say, oh yeah, I'll pray for you. And then we forget. But if we have a rock or a stone or a pebble or something else that's symbolic for you perhaps, and you have it in your pocket, in your purse, somewhere where you put your hand often, under your pillow, next to your bed, you carry it around with you, it's a constant reminder to pray. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but there are some folk who are having such a tough time for whatever reason that we can run out of words. And so just to hold this stone, and sometimes I'll do that in the presence of God and say, God, I haven't got any words, but as I'm holding this stone, hold them. And just that's my prayer. And I'll stand in the presence of God like this for whatever period of time. It's a different way to pray. Ways of praying. If you're stale in the way of praying, just remember there are many different ways to pray. Explore them. And I've given a list in the handout. Bonhoeffer says, our God bears our sin, carries our sin. He bears our pain. He bears our anguish. One of the deep meanings of the cross is that there is no pain on earth that is not borne by God. And we're called to be like Christ, are we not? Hence the church for Bonhoeffer is a community of people who come together to be together, to live for each other, and to bear one another's burdens, to help carry one another's burdens. That's what it's about. And then lastly, the seeking, the longing, the yearning, the hungering. What do you want? We're disciples and we're following Jesus, but what do you want? You know, at a deep level, it's like throwing out the fishing line, and you know, you can, if you throw it down a little bit, you'll get some little fish. But you really want that kind of fishing line of a question to go right deep down into the depths of your being to say, in the deepest part of my being, what do I want? I'm just going to lead us in an imaginative prayer. We often study Scripture with our minds, and we know a lot about Scripture. But God's greatest gift to us, believe it or not, was not the New Testament. It was Jesus himself. And yes, the Word of God speaks to us absolutely and utterly. But let's go deeper then and discover the person of Jesus, the Word, the living Word in the Word of God. The living Word that is active and alive and sharper than a two-edged sword and that cuts between bone and marrow. And if we really believe that that is what Scriptures are like, if we really believe that the Word of God is living and active, then it should cut in. Transformation should happen. A surgeon's knife should be active when we read Scripture. It's not just for studying. It's not just for us to master. It's for the Word of God to master us. So I'm just going to lead us in an imaginative prayer and go with it as long as or as much as you feel comfortable. But it's just, again, to give you an experience of a different kind of way of praying. And again, you may think, well, that's not for you. That's fine. But maybe someone else is struggling and they're talking to you about it. You may be able to offer it as a way that might help them. So think of it in that terms as well. How badly do we want to be with Jesus in Jesus' presence? How badly do we want this? The ways of being with Jesus are many. There's no reason for us to get stuck. We can draw close. Be like that cat. Just fix your eyes on Jesus and sidle in alongside God and just be there, even if you can't use words, even if it's the last place you want to be. But just intentionally present yourself next to God and God will do the rest. God will do the rest because that's the kind of God we have.